Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at FaZe380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/FaZe5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in the thought or process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram, FaZe380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.
Earthquakes, we in the end times. They gave his babies to the Gators, don't forget now. He delivered us from Egypt, about to do it all again. Finding out that we the people, so we putting down our sins. Father, we wanna go home, Abba, please let us in. Oh, and know unto your word, cause you about to send your winds. Abba, keep us from the hour of temptation. Trusting in your word, we just waiting. Come get us from these nations. Abba, keep us from the trickery of Satan. Trusting in your word, not these nations. We in the tribulation.
One of the worst terror attacks, Russian officials are calling it a terrorist attack, in modern years in Russia. We know that as many as 5 gunmen dressed in combat uniforms, according to Russian officials, entered that concert hall in the last few hours. We know they opened fire at people inside the concert hall. There were unconfirmed reports, I stress unconfirmed reports, that there was an explosion inside the concert hall. What we can say definitively, and you can see the pictures of how that concert hall is ablaze, we still think that it is on fire, that concert hall. The fire has been getting worse. We know that Russian officials have been trying to use helicopters to put the fire out, and there are clear reports that Russian special forces have been storming the building. It is not clear right now if that operation to try and get in the building, to try and take out any potential gunmen, to try and save any potential survivors is over. But as you say, Russian officials are now confirming that at least 40 people have been killed and at least 100 injured. One of the
A certain terrorist organization has come out and said that they are responsible for what happened in Moscow earlier today. We're talking about ISIS, who just about an hour and a half after this happened, put a message online stating that it was them. In the message, they don't really give any information about how they did it, who these people are. They just said that they themselves had did this attack. Russian officials have not commented yet on if they believe it was ISIS. There's still a lot of Russian sources that are pointing it to being Ukraine, even though the United States, Ukraine, and other countries are saying there is no evidence whatsoever to even think Ukraine had anything to do with it. The United States did come out and state that, yes, this was ISIS. It's actually a part of the organization called ISIS-K. It's a branch of the main ISIS. It is assumed that this is the same group that the UK and the United States warned us about back on March 7th. It was then where they said, don't go anywhere with large gatherings in the next 48 hours because there are extremists that are planning some kind of attack. Now, 48 hours did go by, nothing had happened at that time, but This right here is a good indication that their intel was correct. I'll be sure to bring you updates on...
You see, fam, what's going on? There's some slick stuff going on now. I already know who was involved in it. I'm speculating, but I don't have no proof, but I could definitely near 99.5% point my finger on who had something to do with it. And we got to realize, fam, we got to get ourselves minds and set govern. See how they picking? And now, I'm showing you, Russia supposed to be sending a bomb, according to the scripture. Russia's supposed to be doing something to the United States, right? Now, we've been seeing this and we've been looking at this and we've been analyzing this for a minute. I've been telling you this all this time since I've been on my podcast, right? So now, I'm showing y'all how it's manifesting to be what it is. In order for us to get next, America got to fall down. And y'all slowly see what's going on. We see the crafty council that they trying to put on. They trying to blame it supposed to be some Muslim country or whatever. What the Muslim got to do with Russia? My thing is, I'm thinking it must have good with, you know, most of the Muslim country anyway. Especially Iran. And I don't understand this. So I know Iran gonna see what's going on because they ain't gonna let them lie on their Muslims. So it's some crafty council coming over here killing all these people and what else. Now what's next? Like I'm telling y'all, world, all these other nations just sitting out here plotting, getting ready to scheme or whatever. You realize you touch the hair of the Most High, chosen true children of God. You know the Most High is going to put wrath on you. So when you start doing your evil, and realize this, y'all. I don't know how this world going to flip, but I know one thing. We do come back every fourth generation. And you might get a lick this time, and they blam you out. But what gonna happen in your next life? What gonna happen then and then and then? I ain't worried about that. I happen when it happen. Okay. That's why you're in the mindset you are in now. That's why we're in the position we are in now. But it ain't gonna happen no more, because when the Most High put that judgment on you, that final cut, when he start doing like the football player, getting the man rosters together, and you didn't make that cut, you're going to wish you made that cut. And you're seeing all these things that manifest, and they're seeing all these stories people telling you about what's going on in Russia. I want y'all to hear what different avenues, because we don't really hear what's going on in America. They tell you bits and pieces and this and this, but they're not telling you the whole meat on the bone. So I'm trying to give. I'm trying to give. Y'all a little meat on the bone. Let's analyze.
Breaking news now from Russia, where at least 40 people were killed and more than 100 were injured in an attack at a concert hall in Moscow. A group of gunmen burst into the Crocus City Hall, where people were gathered for a show. Open fire with automatic weapons. The building then caught fire after reports of explosions. The gunmen were dressed in tactical uniforms and they opened fire first at guards and then at spectators inside that hall. A short time ago, Ukraine, as well as two pro-Ukraine Russian military groups, denied involvement in these attacks. No one has claimed responsibility.
Well, here we go. And of course, on 3/22. Moscow concert hall attack leaves at least 40 dead and 100 wounded. Russian authorities investigating as terrorism. Could this be the event that kickstarts World War III? Well, it wouldn't surprise me since today is 3/22. Now, why is 322 significant? Well, 322 is the skull and bone secret society of Yale's number. And today would be a symbolic day to kickstart World War III. From calling it right now, if Russia finds out if the US or Ukraine had something to do with this attack, it's not going to be good. Now, time will tell what comes of all of this. Be prepared, be alert for other things that are going to happen, because these type of events are going to continue to unfold. Now, this is not fear-mongering. This is called wisdom. It is seeing the writing on the wall and knowing more and more of these events are going to happen. And that is why it is critical to know where you are going when you die. Trust and believe in Jesus for eternal life. Childlike faith that saves. For he is truly the only answer out of this evil and wicked world. So with that, guys, there's your news update.
For the second night in a row, Russia is launching a major attack into Ukraine. And I mean, every single oblast or state in Ukraine right now is currently in an air raid, and it's been that way for the past hour and a half. We have missiles, different kinds, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles. We have drones. There's explosions everywhere right now. Of course, many of these explosions could be defense systems taking down these missiles and drones, but we do know for a fact in places like Kharkiv, there have been a lot of explosions. Those explosions have taken out electricity, which has also taken out their water supply. So right now, imagine these folks are in bunkers at this very moment. No running water and no electricity. It is midnight Eastern time, and there's going to be a lot of updates on the story throughout the night. And I'll keep you in the loop. Right now, we're hearing about missiles heading towards Kyiv. We have missiles heading towards Lviv. And there's a lot. There's so many different places right now. As soon as we get any new information, I'll be sure to keep you in the loop, so be sure to follow me for more.
A major terrorist attack is taking place in Moscow. Just 3 days ago, Russian President Vladimir Putin said Western warnings about such an attack happening were blackmail and a lie. He dismissed them. Here's a statement from TASS, the official Russian, sort of state media. Let me read you the actual thing. This is translated from Russian. Putin called Western statements about possibility of terrorist attacks in Russia blackmail. He's referring to the U.S. Embassy and the British Embassy both putting out statements 2 weeks ago saying that with the upcoming Russian elections that were just last weekend, there was a significant chance, actually in the next few days, it said, of terrorist attacks, especially at large venues, and recommended people don't go to things like concerts and things. This was a shopping mall with a concert. Listen to this. The president of the Russian Federation noted the intention to intimidate and destabilize Moscow, TASS, March 19, 3 days ago. Russian President Vladimir Putin called statements in the West about the possibility of terrorist attacks in the Russian Federation outright blackmail. At the FSB board, the head of state recalled, quote, the recent provocative statements of a number of official Western structures about the possibility of terrorist attacks in Russia, end quote. Another quote. This is from Putin now. All this resembles outright blackmail and the intention to intimidate and destabilize our society, Putin said on March 19th, just 3 days ago. So latest report is that at least 40 people are dead, 100 wounded, 5 gunmen stormed a shopping mall with a concert about to happen, set the building on fire, huge fire in the roof, took an hour for the Russian authorities to even get there to try to take over. They're still trying to get a hold of the situation. It's a really bad scene, according to the videos on social media. I mean, really scary videos of people injured, bleeding, etc. But not a good situation for Putin to have dismissed this only 3 days ago. Then again, Russia isn't a democracy. It is a nascent dictatorship. So, not like Putin's going to suffer, but still, it doesn't.
Стреляют по толпе. Какие-то люди стреляют. Пока эти. Thank you.
A terror attack inside a concert hall in Moscow, a mass shooting and explosions, dozens killed, more than 100 wounded. The horrific images coming in tonight. You can see the video there showing several heavily armed gunmen, some in camouflage, opening fire on the crowd. Many were in their seats before the start of a concert. The building then in flames, the roof collapsing. Just before we came on the air tonight here, ISIS now claiming responsibility. And tonight, Martha Raddatz telling us this attack comes after a recent warning from the U.S. about the threat environment.
Tonight, terror in Moscow. Multiple gunmen slaughtering more than 40 and wounding more than 100 inside one of Russia's largest concert and shopping complexes. Video showing concert goers inside the 7,000 seat Crocus concert hall waiting for the show to begin. Ducking and screaming when the gunfire erupts, hiding under the seats. Taking cover in the lobby, the automatic weapons firing relentlessly. Video circulating online showing two of the multiple gunmen as they stormed the entrance to the complex, firing on patrons as they make their way inside. This man evacuated from the basement, saying the gunmen threw Molotov cocktails after the rampage. Black smoke and flames pouring from the complex, caving in the roof. A massive response by police, fire, and the military. Helicopters dropping water from above, an unknown number of people trapped inside. And tonight, David, the terrorist group ISIS is claiming responsibility for this attack. It comes just 2 weeks after the U.S. State Department warned about possible extremist attacks in Russia and specifically at concert venues, advising Americans there to avoid crowded areas. An official telling ABC News tonight that the U.S. shared the intelligence with Russia that there was an imminent threat from ISIS. David?
Those horrific images coming in tonight. Martha Raddatz with...
What I prepared to talk about, obviously we've all seen the reports and the video coming out of Moscow, this violent shooting at a, looks like a shopping mall. Can't speak much to the details of it. I mean, this was all just breaking before I came on out here, so we're trying to get more information, but really would refer to Russian authorities to speak to it. The images are just horrible, just hard to watch, and our thoughts obviously are going to be with the victims of this terrible, terrible shooting attack. And I think, you know, you look at that video if you have, and you got to recognize that there's some moms and dads and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters that haven't gotten the news yet, and this is going to be a tough day. So our thoughts are with them. You might have also seen, hopefully you saw our State Department or embassy there, put out a notice to all Americans in Moscow to avoid any large gathering, concerts, obviously shopping malls, anything like that, just for their own safety. They should stay put where they are and stay plugged into the State Department for any additional updates and information. I'm afraid that's really all I have on that.
See, fam, I want y'all to hear all this information that's going out, man. I want y'all to see that, you know, we got to get our minds and our heart strapped, get on that for real. That's what we got to get on, man. We got to get them commandments down, stay focused, stay prayer up. And if you got anything that's in your heart that's bothering you, somebody did something, somebody said something that's eating you up, ask the Most High to forgive you. Take that pain away. And you got to, if He forgive you, you got to forgive the person and let it go. Let the Most High and the Spirit make it work. And start working on your inside. You know, we can't hover up a whole lot of stuff that we got going on because this world put it us out here. We in the game right now, y'all. And we got to get out of this game and this paper sack. The paper sack is wet. It's wet enough for us to start hitting the paper sack together for it to bust so all of us can come out. We're in this trap bag. We got so much tears, pain, hurt, discomfort, you know, mental issues, trust issues, all this thing that we have and grew into while we was in this world. That's why the Most High said He gonna make us a new body, a new mind, and a new soul. You know, and we're not gonna have these feelings of how we feeling no more. As a nation, black man and black woman, you know, we just, and Latino man and Latino woman, and Native Indian man and Native Indian woman, we've been through a harsh thing right now in this world, because the Most High said He punished us for all the things we do because we are responsible. And we fell into all this crafty counsel, man. We fell in so much crafty counsel that we don't even understand that we in a crafty counsel. We listen to people who don't have no morals, no value, no standards. They, like the Indian says in the cowboy movie, they talk with two tongues, forked tongue. They talk with two tongues. I didn't understand that at first until I really thought about it at this moment. A forked tongue. Because, you know, you say one thing, right? And then you do the opposite. And that's what he says about a forked spoon. You know, your talk is like a forked spoon. And we see this, and most of us so molested in the mindset, and when they hear this, they get uncomfortable. You know, if I'm feeling uncomfortable, that means my spirit or my soul must got a shocking that I need to recognize. That's why we need to start recognizing our spirit when our spirit talking to us. Especially, you know, people got wicked spirit, but we're not on that wicked stuff. The Most High deal with wicked and He deal with spiritual. So if you're on your spiritual game, trying to get close to the Most High, you know, those are the people I'm talking to. Because we already know the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. And if the earth is given to the hands of the wicked, then, you know, wicked got spiritual wickedness. Right? And these spiritual wickedness are so, once you start, you get up, and you had to hit the alarm clock to wake up in the morning and work out. Don't really have to, but you want to. And you do that. Sometimes you want to stay in the bed, but you get up anyway.
all that become a habit and consistency, right? And then you just all of a sudden, it's just nothing, and then you feel better, you see things and whatever. That's why when you look at this truth, at first, it's just like getting up in the bed, getting out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, going to work out, which you don't have to, but you want to. And sometimes you don't feel like it, but you still do. That's how we wrestle and see these things. When the truth hit us, we... But once we see it, and then we start seeing the truth of the matter, then it start making us feel a little compassionate, a little empathy, a little understanding. The Bible said the truth will set you free. And when he said the truth will set you free, I didn't really understand that the truth would set you free. Because now I see that we as a nation, Israel, we as a nation, we don't know the truth. And if we knew the truth, it would set us free from this bondage. All the Most High want us to do, but we had to go through our forefathers' iniquity, our forefathers' curse. Now, as we see it as a nation right now, we don't want to do what our forefathers did. But we still caught up in this molestation mindset. Once we get out of this molestation mindset, then we'll be all right. Right? But we so much in crafty counseling. Crafty counseling. Fizz, what you talking about, crafty counseling? What you talking about, crafty counseling? You're always trying to say something crafty, counseling, but you don't never say what you really want to say, Faye. You be talking right sometimes, Faye, but you be getting on my nerve. You be getting on my nerve, Faye. All right, Grump Man, let's analyze.
Puts in sharp relief the difference between America's ideals and rhetoric and America's practice. I mean, here we have a nation coming into existence saying to the world that the reason that we are about to embark on a revolution, on a break with Great Britain, is because we believe in human freedom. We hold these truths to be self-evident, and on about liberty and justice and equality. And those same people making this plea to the world are also the holders of human beings in bondage. And so to talk about God-given rights that you are now denying to your fellow human beings sets up a particularly difficult contradiction, the great American contradiction between Americans' ideals and America's action. Now, that does have a great impact on some places and some people in this new emerging nation. In places in the North where there is slavery, but the numbers of slaves are relatively small compared to the South. And the economic importance of slavery is less compared to the South. In those places, there are movements to abolish slavery. And in some of these Northern states, slavery is abolished immediately by constitution. For example, we know that in 1777, Vermont writes a constitution in which slavery is abolished. And in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Constitution of 1780 abolishes slavery, but it doesn't really take effect until after a slave sues in the court system of Massachusetts. And then in 1783, the Supreme Court of the state of Massachusetts declares slavery abolished in the state. But
either through these immediate constitutional measures or through gradual emancipation processes in places like New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York, slavery is disappearing from the North. At the same time, in the South, slavery is not disappearing. But what that means is that the revolution and its rhetoric is having an effect in the North, which is making it more difficult for those states to justify slavery. Then at the same time, you get, during the Revolution, the British offering freedom to slaves who will come to the British lines and support the British cause. And they do by the tens of thousands. You know, Thomas Jefferson estimates that in Virginia alone, 30,000 slaves walk off the plantation to find sanctuary with the British. There are also some slaves who are freed because of the fact that the American cause needs supporters, needs soldiers. And some slaves that fight in the American Revolution on the side of the Americans receive their freedom. So that all in all, with the numbers of slaves who run away, the numbers of slaves who are freed because of measures that are being put into place in northern states abolishing the institution, the number of slaves who are freed because they are fighting for the American cause, all in all, we find tens of thousands of slaves who are freed as a result of the American Revolution. In fact, there are more slaves freed in the aftermath of the American Revolution than in any other single event until we come to the Civil War in the mid-19th century.
I hear you breathing, but your heart no longer sounds strong. But you're kind of scared of dying, so you hold on. And you keep on blacking out. Your pulse is slow. Stop trying to fight the reaper. Just relax and let it go. Because there's no way you can fight it, though you'll still try. And you can try it till you fight it, but you'll still die. Your spirit leaves your body and your mind clears. The rigor mortis starts to set that you find it. Start your journey in the outer space. You see yourself in the light, but you're still feeling out of place. So you're standing in the tunnel of eternal life. And you've seen the one you've never learned to love in life. Make a choice, let it go. Back it up. If you ain't at peace with God, you need to patch it up. But if you're ready, close your eyes and we can set it free. And here lies a man not scared to die. May he rest in peace. And still got to wonder why. I ain't never seen a man cry till I seen a man die.
Tonight, America scurries around trying to understand how it lost Africa to Russia. And in all honesty, it's absolutely disgusting.
The U.S. losing to Putin, more than 1,000 U.S. military personnel getting kicked out of Niger, an essential military agreement falling apart. Niger wants a major American ally, turning instead to Putin. Russia has been feverishly working to expand its presence, not just in Niger, but across all of Africa, mineral-rich and many, many countries, with one top U.S. military official warning that several African nations are, quote, at the tipping point of falling under Russia's influence. Out front now, John Sullivan, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia. And ambassador, you know, we have seen this in countries, Mali, Burkina Faso, across Africa. Now you've got 1,000 Americans kicked out of Niger, a 10-year deal over. This was a crucial location for U.S. troops, counter-terror efforts. Putin now gaining ground. Can you explain why this matters so much?
Sure. Thanks, Erin. It's great to be with you. Yeah, this has been a longstanding problem that the Russians, through their proxy organizations like the Wagner Group, have been working to ingratiate themselves into these countries. It undermines the United States counterterrorism mission. It allows them to expropriate the natural resources of these countries, valuable natural resources, gold, including some that are essential for U.S. national security, like uranium. In Niger, for example. So it's a national security problem for the United States, but it's even bigger problem for all the people who live in these countries, whose autocratic governments are now associating with what amounts to a private military contractor slash terrorist organization like the Wagner Group.
And And can you tell me how active they still are, the Wagner Group, and what are the mercenaries? How are they getting mercenaries there?
Well, Aaron, it's really like a franchise, the way to think of it. The Wagner organization, we call it Wagner, it was really a bunch of corporate shell companies that recruited Russian military, other military personnel to go in and provide security services to autocrats in these countries. The franchise founder has been eliminated by Vladimir Putin, and now they're recruiting more military personnel to go in and undermine security, undermine the counterterrorism mission in these countries, support autocrats, and undermine the West.
Are pouring in as President Putin secures another victory as leader of the Russian Federation.
Congratulations are pouring in from all around the world, from Russia's many friends and allies, including economic powerhouses, for example, Russia's partners in BRICS. And aside from congratulations, they all seem to have one thing in common, and that is that the really ridiculously high voter turnout, as well as the overwhelming support for Vladimir Putin, shows that the Russian public doesn't only support Vladimir Putin, but they trust him to lead Russia into the future.
With more than 87% of the vote, Putin has completely won the war against the collective West. It demonstrates the values of the Russian people, who are leading the way for President Vladimir Putin's victory. It also marks a long road of vindication and recognition for a new Russia, a great Russia, for a multipolar world, and for a world of balance. So our elder brother, Vladimir Putin, has triumphed. These are good omens for the world and for the year 2024. Congratulations. Putin and Russia are triumphing on all battlefronts.
As for the West, we are hearing nothing. There is mainly silence. Just to read you some of the headlines fresh off the press right now. In the UK, for example, all these people that are sending the congratulations of the leaders of these countries, apparently they're despots, because this is what the headline states. Despots rush to congratulate Putin after his sham election victory. Of course, we've heard that this is a sham election before the election even started, with the EU president congratulating Vladimir Putin before the voting even started, as I said, with the last landslide victory. But of course, even they probably could not expect that the results would be so high and that support for Vladimir Putin would be so high. But again, they claim that this is all a sham, that the elections are fake. And another headline that I'd like to read is, Western leaders dismiss Putin's illegal poll victory. There's also a lot being said in Western media about this awkward silence. But in fact, it's really awkward for the West, not so much for Russia, because as Vladimir Putin said last night in his victory speech, he said, well, what do we expect the West to do? Stand up and applaud? No, of course not, because they are fighting us militarily. So Russia is not expecting to hear congratulations from the West. But in fact, headlines like these just show exactly what is going on. And to be quite frank, diplomatically speaking, it's awkward for the West, because when it comes to diplomacy, they should congratulate the president of a country regardless of their feelings if they want to continue their relationship forward. And they will have to, because Vladimir Putin will be in power for the next 6 years, so they'll have to start speaking eventually. So perhaps congratulations would be a nice start, but that's just my humble opinion. Moving forward, I'd like to also point out something that Maria Zakharova said when she called out the double standards of the West, because we're heard from the German foreign ministry again that the elections, of course, are not fair, are not free. But the main issue that they're citing is the fact that Vladimir Putin is in power once again for the fifth term. Like, this is the first time this happens in the world. We've seen this time and time again.
America sent packing as Niger cuts ties with the United States after they try to dictate who they can be allies with.
We start with breaking news. Niger has announced it's immediately ending all military cooperation with the United States. It comes just 2 days after an American delegation visited the West African nation for high-level talks.
The government of Niger regrets the will of the American delegation to deny the sovereign Nigerian people the right to choose their partners and the type of partnership that can help them truly fight terrorism. Even though the United States of America has unilaterally decided to suspend all cooperation between our two countries. Therefore, the government of Niger strongly denounces the condescending attitude accompanied by the threat of reprisals on the part of the head of the American delegation vis-à-vis the government and the Nigerian people. The American presence on the territory of the Republic of Niger is illegal and violates all the constitutional and democratic rules that would like the sovereign people, in particular through its elected representatives, to be consulted for the installation of a foreign army on the national territory.
Earlier, we spoke with a political analyst from Niger who says Niamey should look beyond America for nations to cooperate with.
The Americans are interested in their military base with more than 1,000 soldiers who do not make any decisive contribution to the fight against terrorism. I do not think they have any reason to be here anymore. I think they should draw their own conclusions. We're at war. Why did we abandon the French? Because they were useless to us. They only complicated the situation. Our prime minister said that we need American sponsors or investors, not American soldiers. If they cannot help us eradicate terrorism, then they should leave. They have to take responsibility for themselves. Our country is now part of the Sahel Alliance of States. This alliance adheres to fundamental principles. I think the best choice for Niger and all the countries that make up the Sahel Alliance is Russia. In addition, Turkey and Iran can be considered. We welcome any country that pursues an honest policy and is able to assist us in ensuring the security of our country.
American Army General openly admits that they are only in Africa for its gold and to influence the African leaders. AKA, they are behind corruption in Africa since they are the ones influencing African leaders.
General Langley, can you talk about why we care about what's happening in Africa right now? I mean, what, if you tell the American taxpayer, why are we there? Why are we spending the money we're spending there?
Thanks for the question, Senator. For access and influence, I'd say that a number of countries are at the tipping point of actually being captured by the Russian Federation, as they are spreading some of their false narratives across Libya. And from a strategic answer piece, access influence across the whole Maghreb, that is NATO's southern flank. We need to be able to maintain access and influence across the Maghreb from Morocco all the way to Libya. The PRC and Russia are also remaining exploitative where possible and coercive when necessary. They want that ground. They want power projection capabilities. So for the most part, the rest of the continent is also for mining concessions, whether it be gold or rare earth minerals. Both of them have a long-range plan, but I think at the accelerated pace, the Russian Federation is really trying to take over Central Africa as well as the Sahel.
This is how the Dominican Republic newspaper depicts Haiti. And these same Dominicans are begging to join CARICOM, which consists of black Caribbean countries. Fuck no. Say no to racist Dominican Republic joining CARICOM.
Buses filled with Haitians being deported from the Dominican Republic. Every day, hundreds of men, women, and children are taken to the border to be sent back to a country struggling with a political and security crisis. Among them is Chéri. I've been living here for 5 years, he says. I am not sure what I'll do if I go back. Dominican authorities say they won't allow refugees in the country.
Human rights groups are asking countries like the Dominican Republic and the United States to hold deportations of Haitians because they're facing a life-threatening situation back home. Those who have been deported are running the risk of being killed or kidnapped. In many cases, there's been children who have been deported on their own without their parents to a country in chaos.
On the streets of Port-au-Prince, civilians continue to be affected by the ongoing fighting between gangs and the police. People are being forced to flee their homes to safer areas, but they're struggling to access basic needs like food and water.
The gangs came with big guns. We have no guns. We cannot defend ourselves. All of us are suffering, including children.
Breaking news. The West suffers another massive blow as an unknown group cuts three crucial deep sea internet connections to Asia.
Now, three undersea cables in the Red Sea have been cut. As a result, global internet and telecommunication traffic of Asia, including India, Europe, and the Middle East, has been rerouted. The Red Sea is the chief target for the Yemen's Houthi rebels. As for Hong Kong-based HGC Global Communications, the cut lines include Asia, Africa, Europe 1, the Europe-India Gateway, CECOM and TGN Gulf. Tata Communications is part of the Indian conglomerate and behind the CECOM TGN Gulf line. What cut the lines remains unclear. There's concerns about the cables being targeted in the Houthi campaign that the rebels describe as an effort to pressure Israel to end its war on Hamas in Gaza. The Houthis, however, have denied attacking the lines. Global shipping has been disrupted through the Red Sea, a crucial route for cargo and energy shipments from Asia and West Asia to Europe. The sabotage of telecommunication lines could further escalate the months-long crises. Hong Kong-based HGC Global Communications described the cuts as affecting 25% of the traffic flowing through the Red Sea. It described the Red Sea route as crucial for data moving from Asia to Europe and said it had begun rerouting traffic.
South African recolonization attempt is currently underway as whites plan to steal 3/4 of the country and give a little peace to a certain group that calls themselves, and I quote, God's chosen people.
And the crisis that we're in together as black people in this region by this continuous existence of an enemy among us. And that's why the issue of Cape independence is a threat to everybody. Cape independence is equivalent to putting an Israel in South Africa. Because once that Israel is established, and the Cape Colony establishes itself as it did in the 1800s, you will see that the West will arm it, they will give it nuclear weapons, they'll give it weapons to start attacking its neighbors, and guess whose neighbors? It's South Africa, so that they can begin to take land once again, as they did when the British and the Voortrekkers came here.
Very fair concern.
So, these are the things that we're saying. South Africa's got to acknowledge that apartheid never ended. The apartheid weapons never stopped being used. The mercenaries continue to destabilize Africa. The companies continue to destabilize and sabotage Africa and to sanction African countries to destroy their self-sufficiency, to destroy their companies, so that at the end of the day, they continue their domination. But when South Africa dominates the region, South Africans must understand that regional players and people in the region whose companies have been destroyed, whose jobs have been destroyed, will then become migrants, refugees in South Africa.
Ukraine winning against Russia is a pipe dream. This is what Europeans are saying in recent polls.
With Kiev failing to make any progress on the front line, more and more people are losing faith in Ukraine and the West's ability to guarantee Russia's defeat. And they're suggesting a logical conclusion to this two-year fatal fiasco, a peace deal. Around 70% of Americans want the Biden administration to push Ukraine to negotiate with Russia. Only 10% of Europeans believe that Ukraine actually stands a chance to win, and almost 40% want peace talks as well. The majority of Ukrainians themselves agree. 72% want a diplomatic solution. Now, these numbers were very different a year ago, when everyone was certain for some odd reason that Ukraine would win. However, things change.
An average of just 10% of Europeans across 12 countries believe that Ukraine will win. Twice as many expect a Russian victory. This weak confidence in Ukraine's chances of victory is visible all over Europe. Poland, Portugal, and Sweden are the most optimistic countries. But even there, only 17% of respondents believe Ukraine will prevail. And in Sweden, 19% think Russia will win.
Of course, people are not blind. They know how much Europe and the West have sent Ukraine so far, and they're not seeing any results from all those billions that could have been spent at home.
The World Bank Group, the European Commission, and the United Nations currently estimate that as of 31st December 2023, the total cost of reconstruction and recovery in Ukraine is $486 billion over the next decade, up from $411 billion estimated 1 year ago.
What's also interesting is that if before Russia was perceived as a top threat by G7 countries, now it's not even in the top three, as more countries again focus on their own problems.
Given the absolutely critical dependence of Ukraine on G7 political, economic, and military support, this is worrying. It does not bode well for the ability of Europe's political leaders to sustain the necessary public backing for continued aid transfers. Voters in France and Germany, for example, are significantly more concerned about mass migration and radical Islamic terrorism than Putin's designs for Ukraine.
News. America's neo-Nazi hemorrhoids flared up again, this time in Nashville, Tennessee.
We're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country.
Well, moving on now, around 24 neo-Nazis have been on the march in the American South, taken to the streets of Nashville, Tennessee during Black History Month. The Russian Foreign Ministry didn't pull its punches when commenting on the incident.
American-style freedom has unleashed everything that was tabooed before, that was held like an evil genie in a lamp and seemingly forever thrown into the sea. But resistance to this evil is punished, seen as a violation according to American freedom.
The footage recorded by one passerby shows dozens of people wearing red t-shirts and black masks disguising their faces. They're openly marching with swastika flags, making the Nazi salute and chanting slogans. The demonstrators are believed to be part of the white supremacist Blood Tribe group, which was founded in 2020. Local officials have condemned the march, but there have been no specific sanctions imposed on neo-Nazi groups there.
We're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov called for an absolute end of colonialist nations being completely dependent on former colonies. He says the built-up resentment will likely end in war.
Russia's foreign minister has called for an end to so-named colonial dependency. The country's top diplomat emphasized the perils of siphoning off resources at low prices in his speech at the For the Freedom of Nations Forum in Moscow. He did not hold back. Take a listen.
This is the neo-colonial divide of the world into those who consider themselves exceptional and the rest, those who are given the role of doing the will of God's chosen ones. Our choice in any situation is to negotiate in order to find a balance between the legitimate interests of the parties, and I emphasize precisely the legitimate interests. If their allies themselves prefer to continue their hopeless attempts to impose their ultimatums in the illusory hope of holding on to the elusive instruments of neocolonial hegemony, that is their choice. Russia is ready for that too. Neocolonialism is a dead-end path. Whoever follows it is doomed to eternal conflict. It is enough to look at the relations within the Western camp itself, where some neo-colonializers have already begun to devour others. Amid economic problems, the Americans have already openly started sucking resources out of Europe.
Russia's top diplomat speaking at that forum in Moscow earlier. Well,
Putin exposes coup that took place in Ukraine, claims that America was the hidden hand behind it.
A coup d'etat was committed, although I shall not delve into details now, as I find doing it inappropriate, the U.S. told us. Calm Yanukovych down, and we will calm the opposition. Let the situation unfold in the scenario of a political settlement. We said, all right, agreed, let's do it this way. As the Americans requested, Yanukovych did use neither the armed forces nor the police, yet the armed opposition committed a coup in Kiev. What is that supposed to mean? Who do you think you are? I wanted to ask the then U.S. leadership.
With the backing of whom?
With the backing of CIA, of course. The organization you wanted to join back in the day, as I understand. We should thank God they didn't let you in. Although, it is a serious organization. I understand. My former vis-a-vis in the sense that I served in the first main directorate, Soviet Union's intelligence service.
So, fam, you see all these things that are going on in this world, man? You see the taste in the air, the smell in the air. All this mess is going on. And we got to realize something, fam. and I'm not trying to put y'all in no type of fear, because God said you shouldn't have fear, and the Most High said you shouldn't have fear, and if you do, and just repent of that and ask the Most High to help you with that. But I'm not trying to put this fear or whatever, being alert, being wise, and getting your mind and your heart ready. And this is not no he trying to throw it. If the Most High told us to do the commandments, man, the 613 law statutes of commandments, the 613 law statutes of commandments, if he told us to do this, let's go. And that's on your own individual. I'm just for the people who don't know, and the people that need a little more encouragement, or the people need to, the ones that need to go out there and find, they go to the Leviticus law and find out what it's called. Because we already went through that. Jesus said, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophet. Think not that I came to destroy, but I came to defeat, to fulfill. So he said he came to defeat, fulfill. So therefore, he didn't come to destroy the law. So we still have to do the law of Moses. It's too easy, man. It's too easy. But are we willing to change? Oh, we want to change. But that's on you, because look at the day, look at the time, and look at the, don't hit that watch, that stopwatch going on, and it's your turn to clock out, and you ain't right, man. You see what they doing on Russia? They already setting this scene up for Russia now, because this is the big picture. We watched in the movie, episode 100,050 A12. This is what this episode about right now. How they came into Russia and killed them people and did all this in the name of this, in the name of that. Now y'all hear this, because I can sit up here and wah 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 wah, but I just want y'all to, you know, listen to different avenues and hear different adjectives and verbs and stuff like that, so you can just get your mind saying, you know. And then when you hear this and stuff that you hear on my stuff, and you look out into the other outlets, and you know, you get some basic information what's going on, and then you go and just figure out what, get some more meat on the bone, as much as meat on the bone if you need and want. The earth is given to the hands of the wicked. That's why we got to remind ourselves. The Bible says the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. Why didn't he say the world is given to the hands of the wicked? If the Most High said he loved the world, why didn't he say the world is given to the hands of the wicked? But he said the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. And who is running the earth? And watch the people who's running the earth move and counter move. That's all we got to do. If that's the truth and that is so, then we'll find out so. If not, you know, it's another thing. We got to analyze, family. We got to realize. We can't be playing no game. We got to start chopping it, chopping it, chopping it, chopping it. And man, if we got people, I keep saying it, if we got people that we got on our mind, on our heart, and everything, go out and reach out to them. Tell them you love them, you care about them. What's up? How you doing? Spend that little intimacy time with them. You know, when you spend a little more intimacy time with them, and then your mindset and the aura of everything can be complete, you know, then, you know, you can find peace in every avenue. We always want to try to find peace, man, because the project and the main thing is we're trying to keep our heart lighter than a feather. So when the feather be on our heart, it don't weigh nothing. So all of us got heavy hearts, and I know this, man. I know we got heavy hearts. and we carry heavy hearts. But sometimes we got to rinse that off. Oh, faith is better said than done. Faith is better said than done. I understand that, Grunt. I understand that. But it takes a process and takes steps. And it also takes getting in these scriptures, praying and meditating and asking the Most High. And if I seen my grandfather all my life drinking, when I was growing up, all I seen him was drinking, sloppy drinking, and sloppy drinking. Right. And all of a sudden, when I'm 13, 14, 15, he ain't drinking no more. And I asked him, and he said he was at the table one day, and he cried and he begged the Most High to take that hank off of him. And boom, I'm a witness to that as a young child growing up. I'm a witness to that. My brothers and sisters and my cousins can bear witness to that too. So it is a chance. It is a way. If you're sincere, you'll win. If not, you have the blues and the hank keep jabbing at you.
Song is record, do nothing but raise my hand. Before I'm about to clear the land, so Jacob return again. Battle where we found the Ark of the Covenant, we ain't playing. We know we at war, ain't no explanation for the things that I saw. Them chariots is coming, prophecy you can't ignore. Messiah coming back, you don't want him. The Son of Man be lifted up, that's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world, that's the update. California on fire, Greece on fire. Y'all, we at the end of time, earthquakes every hour. Most eyes showing his power. Y'all, this place gonna get devoured. The sheep waiting on they self. He gonna get us together. Y'all, that day gonna be so special. Stay repenting the next. Stop that sinning before he catch you. His protection is a blessing. Y'all, we at the end of time. Earthquakes every hour. Most eyes showing his power.